Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Tunnel screen to Shakir, works his way through a tackler, stays on his feet, breaks away from another, 20, 10, 5, Khalil Shakir, slippery as ever. Play clock at one, handoff to Kamara, who is slammed and dropped by the rookie, Deion Walker.
It's Mike Shope.
Orbit motion, it's a reverse. Alave going Philly special, and it's intercepted by Cole Bishop at the 2-yard line, and up the sideline he goes. What a play by Cole Bishop.
And the Bulldog
fakes the handoff to Cook. Allen gonna run it. Tucks it, and he reaches the goal line. The beast has been released as he takes it in on a 5-yard touchdown run. Fakes the throw to the flat, looks down the sideline. He's got Kincaid, who's going to walk it in for a 23-yard touchdown.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm not sure other teams should be allowed to run the Philly special. I mean, most famous plays are not named for teams. So go have fun with your hook and ladder and your tush push, you know? Like, I don't want to run the brotherly shove, but I'll run the tush push. I mean, I don't want to run the Philly special unless we can come up with some other name. Let's just throw a wrinkle in so that the coach, when the game, if it works, yep, after the game, say, actually, that was not what that was because we did this instead. If you, if you actually look for it, you'll see it.
Right. I just love. I thought Chris did a great job to work. I think everyone knows what that means. You're a football fan. I mean, not everyone. I suppose my parents were listening to the game for some reason, not watching it, which I'm assuming they would have been watching it. But if they were listening, maybe my mom wouldn't have known what the Philly special is. But maybe my dad too. Not to be sexist. But you know, I think most football fans of a certain age know that reference. And I thought Chris did a great job to just in the flow of that, just say it. Just as it's unfolding in front of him. Hey, this is the Philly special. That was pretty good.
You know, there's good and then less good from yesterday, and you're welcome to come to us with what you're thinking about the most. 803-0550 is the number. It's funny to say this because it's what we talked about every day for so long, but it's probably time to have another James Cook talk, you know? I mean, game after game is going by, and he's just killing it. Like, It's kind of enough already with what he isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, this other guy will play more snaps. This guy can catch the ball better. This guy's bigger. All the different areas where individually he might not be like very top notch, but what he is, not what he isn't, what he is here now, and now being like the last 2 years. It says a lot. Like, it's working. I mean, that's just the very most modest way to put it. And Allen, again, yesterday, and you can make excuses for this, like who they played and everything, but, he didn't need to really carry them. And it could, because Cook is doing enough. Like, the line is good. And the threat that Allen poses, of course, makes it easier. And that's been one of my counterpoints on him. Well, both of those things, actually. Like, you've got to have the blocking, and you want to have the quarterback being the running threat and just the overall threat that Allen is. I mean, James Cook has it good here. There's no question about that. But he's doing about as much as you could do with it, given how much he plays.
Yeah.
And what has happened to Davis, if anything,
is interesting. That's what I'm waiting to bring up here is, I mentioned it with Eric Wood. Like, I know this, file this under, gee, I wish I had your problems, right? Like, I'm wondering what happened to the Bills' backup running back, right? That's my concern today, is what's going on with the backup running back. But, like, there was more of a timeshare last year. You know, Cook was ahead of the other two, but Davis was, like, getting equal time with Ty Johnson, basically, I think, is the way it worked. I don't know if that shook out in touches necessarily. It certainly wouldn't have been receptions, because Johnson was their third down back and caught more passes, I'm pretty sure, than Ray Davis, although I got to go back and look at last year. But Davis is a ghost. I mean, again, another game goes by here, and we're talking about, what, one carry?
Yeah,
so
for three.
It's not... On one hand, you could say, like, that's not going very well. But on the other hand, he's not even really getting up. You know, he's getting one carry in a game. What am I supposed to draw conclusions about? Like, is something wrong with him or something? They don't like blocking for him or something? I'm not positing any of that. I just think it's very interesting that Cook is being trusted with that much more of a workload. And this is not me saying he doesn't deserve it. He's always been the most talented of those three guys. But the question for me about his usage in the previous season, and if you want to go back further than that, but really last year was the breakout year, and then we started talking about a contract. It was like, no, they like doling it out the way they're doling it out. Davis will have a role. Ty Johnson absolutely has a role. That hasn't really changed with Johnson, but Davis just does not exist here from a getting touches standpoint. And I just hope, because I don't know, maybe Cook, we've never seen him do it. Maybe he can handle 56 or 60% snap share up from 47 or 48 or whatever it was last year. I just want to be careful about it. Like, his value, it's switched to me now. He's demonstrating how good he is and thus how valuable he is that I want to make sure I don't overdo it. Because I'm not ready to assume that Ray Davis can just do something similar to what James Cook is doing. It looks like the Bills don't think that anymore.
Well, is that how you've thought about this before, this year? Because I can't say that I have. I mean, it's not going to be necessarily identical because, you know, one guy was a better prospect and has more time with the starters, you know, timing and all of what goes into executing these plays. You know, it's not really a fair fight. But I would say it's been close enough. When Cook missed a game last year, Davis was fine in his stead. So to me, you know, part of the thinking on Cook is like, I don't think I'd miss him if he's not there. And for a lot of the summer, we were thinking about that possibility. Like, will he be there? So, I mean, it's not as easy to say that now.
No, I don't want to say it at all. In fact, what I'm saying is, protect him because I want to. I don't think it's as interchangeable. I think I was mistaken to have thought that it wouldn't be that big of a deal if he weren't there, or if they didn't pay him, if he got mad and went home, or whatever we were talking about before the contract extension happened. I don't think you can assume that anymore with how it's going.
But
again, Davis hasn't really even gotten the chance, which is maybe the most curious part about it at all, that he doesn't have a game with seven carries even yet. You know, like, it just is not happening.
Yeah, well, he has not gotten anywhere. You know, like, I wonder, Cook has been very good, and there's no need necessarily to look harder at it than that. I mean, he has deserved his volume, and he's mm-hmm. paid them off. But like, Davis this year is 11 for 29. He had 9 carries in the Jet game for 24 yards.
Okay.
And, you know, that was a blowout.
Right.
But he didn't get anywhere. And in the other three games, he's combined 2 for 5.
You know,
and he has 1 catch for -1. Like, there's nothing happening.
I heard a bit of the pregame show yesterday. Jeremy and Joe were talking about this, and I heard Jeremy make the point, and I don't have this. It's easy enough to do. Maybe I can do it in a few minutes here. But look at the games where Davis carried the ball significantly, and the games
last year.
The game scripts might not be The scores, final scores may not be indicative of what the game was like in the second quarter or the third quarter, right? But the games where he got touches that Cook played, of course, the Jet game is an exception because Cook missed that last year and Davis was the number one guy in that game. But the other games, the games where the Bills win by a lot are the games where he gets the touches.
Sure.
Just like the Jet game, which makes sense. So what I think Jeremy was driving at, and maybe this is a sensible way to look at it, is that, at least I would say this for myself, hearing Jeremy point that out made me think, maybe I overreacted to a few blowouts. Like, there's not as much of a timeshare as we think. Whatever the snap percentages are affected by what the game situation is. So if Davis is eating into James Cook in games that they're comfortable in, well, that makes sense. You want to protect your number one guy. But it's not like they're getting a change of pace for Davis in a game that's tight. It's our number one guy's out there. You know, like we're playing our dude.
Let me say here, yes and no. He had three games last year where he had double-digit carries. One of them is Week 18, where Cook sat most of the game. Not all of it. He scored his touchdown.
Brought him in to score his touchdown, right.
Number one is the Jet game where Cook was inactive. Number three, because the Week 18 New England game is number two. That can be discounted. Number three is San Francisco. And that game did get away from San Francisco, but the Bills' second drive is a Davis drive. And he scores the touchdown to finish the drive. He puts them up 7-3.
Good.
That game did become, you know, kind of a blowout. But still, like, it was before they got ahead. That's just one game.
Right. But still, that's a game that you would have in mind where he got a lot of touches and it ended up being a crooked score. But no, so what they're not doing is, if they are getting him a series early, he's not getting anywhere, and then that's it. Like, we're done for the day. James Cook and Ty Johnson, you know, you go have at it here. And I wonder if they will make some effort to try to reestablish that. Because I do think it is important to protect. It's more important now, I feel like, with the way these first four games have looked, to make sure you are protecting Cook and not overdoing it. And Davis is the answer to that. So let's see if you can get him, you know, get him going so that you've got, you know, the alternative and the opportunity to make sure you're pacing Cook effectively. I don't want to get to December and January and have a guy that has, like, he's got an all-time high in carries and maybe looks like it.
Yeah, I get that. Well, you know, Cook is still young enough, right? Like, we're not talking about Barkley off 400 touches or, and they have limited him coming into this year. And I don't think it matters what they're paying him for any of this. So it feels like it's okay, you know? But what you're saying is just you got to be careful. And, of course, that's right. But it feels like it's okay, you know? I wonder if something is different with Davis. I haven't heard anything, but he just – and it wasn't like he's never been lightning or anything like that. I mean, Davis is a big physical runner, but he's not somebody who's going to, like, usually break plays off for you. And I don't know if this year is – if it's been enough to even be able to cast a fair judgment. It's just like – he doesn't have a good play yet.
I'm trying to remember. That's right. I'm trying to remember if there was anything in the summer that he talked about, even like as camp was beginning, like, yeah, you know, I wanted to get a little lighter or something. Did he change? I wonder if he changed anything. That doesn't have to explain whatever's happening because it is such, it's four games. And so it's not, you know, it's not just one game. But it is still a very small – his attempts is a very small sample size. It's four games, which is not that small, but 11 carries in those four games. I can't draw conclusions at all. I don't think it would be right to about did he change something and therefore he's not as effective anymore.
And again, it's not just 11 carries. It's two in three of the games.
Right.
Total.
That's right.
And it's nine in garbage time against the Jets.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really like it's a super backup role.
He's not really a part of the offense right now at all.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, that's Davis, but Cook, I mean, he's second in the league in rushing behind Jonathan Taylor. He's first alone in rushing touchdowns, which last year he tied for the league lead in rushing touchdowns. He got 21 rushing touchdowns in 21 regular season games. And how many games in a row? 7 or 8 in a row? Like, this is record stuff.
It's 8 now. Yeah. It was 7 going into yesterday, and they got him his touchdown. And, yeah, so that goes on.
A caller to postgame wanted to, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to hide from how I felt about Cook in the past, which is just to say, like, yeah, he's good, but I'm not going to go crazy. And I think at times the conversations I've gotten into with callers and with people are people who sound like they're just way up here on him. The one guy calls us
last
once in a while to talk
OJ.
About OJ.
Right.
You know, and first team All-Pro stuff. I mean, he might have a look at that this year. He'll have to keep this up. Still, like, to me, and you don't have to agree with this, but the very top tier of guys, yesterday's guy was, he's got to be top 5 in the league. And, you know, I said, because I'm, you know, a stubborn Scorpio, I said, do we need to do top 5 in the league at week 4? Like, you know, you can do anything you want whenever you want to do it, but is it time to recalibrate that list and maybe take Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry off of it? Do we need to do that? At the end of the season, we'll want to do that. You want to do that today, you can.
He's outperforming them both right now.
By far.
There's no question about that.
By far. Taylor, Bijan, Gibbs, Genty yesterday. I mean, he's an elite all-time prospect. ETN, even, I have to say. He's somebody, I don't draft Cook and I don't draft ETN. And this year, like,
he had a big run yesterday, yeah. Early.
He had a big game, too. I mean, he's... The thinking there quickly was new regime, holdover running back who's only been like this level of efficient. Maybe they'll make a change, but they absolutely have not. That they've leaned into him. So, okay, you know, Jacobs last night, whatever. I mean, you could.
Top 5 in the league right now is not outrageous. He's leading the league
not.
In rushing and or up there at the top and leading the exactly. league in touchdown rushing touchdowns. Like, it's not heresy to say he's ranking there.
I think you can say that.
Yeah. Yeah. So so what? I don't know. I'm going to hang on to the usage thing. Not to like have a gotcha moment if something happens to him. I just, you know, he does. I heard Eric, I don't think he got into it with us very much, but I heard him talking about this, I think, with Chris and Steve earlier today. He doesn't get hit, really. Like, he's very good about, you know, getting down when he needs to get down and just avoiding any kind of really big contact. But that's not even, I think that way more about a quarterback than I do a running back. It's not nothing, but to me, just... You're leaning on a guy for 20-plus carries a game. Just anything. Like the turf. I mean, the turf got Malik Nabers yesterday. Thankfully, the Bills don't play at MetLife Stadium. Oof. But, you know, anything can get you. So I just want to be careful about how much I'm leaning on him at this point. But he's been excellent. And he has deserved the carries. I just hope they don't go too hard at it.
The Bills get Bijan Robinson in 2 weeks. And unless their defense changes, you're going to start to see, if you play fantasy football seriously, you know, playing against Buffalo is like a top matchup for a running back, because they're just getting pretty much destroyed against the run. Yesterday was Kendre Miller. I mean, I know who that is. Not everybody's going to know who that is. And, you know, the backup for the Saints, and he looked good. I thought in that game, the touchdown run was real nice, but he's running through guys.
Yeah, he ran through a tackle in the hole and got, like, Trey White had a look at him, but didn't seem really that up for it. And maybe there's another tackle he breaks on that run too. So that's the thing. Yeah, and sadly, that's week 6, Atlanta, Bijan Robinson. You're not, maybe you get Oliver and Milano back by then, but you're not getting the suspended guys back. The reinforcements, you know, some of them aren't eligible until after that week.
That's also Atlanta's next game.
Yeah, they're on bye, right.
They beat Washington yesterday. Been a strange team so far. And then have the bye in week 5. Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and...
Green Bay.
and Green Bay. Well, they got to be exhausted. Green Bay. They have to be. They need the bye because they've got to be so tired after last night. 40-40. What a beauty that game was. What a beauty. Do we like at all that the game had to end in a tie? Does that really fly? I mean, they really just couldn't keep going. Next score wins. 40-40.
I know. From a player safety standpoint, I'm not up for extending regular season games any more than they're already extended.
Okay, fine.
But it's not. I mean, it's far from perfect. Obviously, you'd like to avoid it, but I just don't know the answer.
At least college got around to putting a limit on overtimes. Not exactly. I mean, after the first overtime in college football, the second you have to go for two.
It's that soon, the second one.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the third is only 2-point plays, back and forth.
Okay.
That's it. After the second overtime, the third overtime on is you try for two, I try for two. If we both make it or both miss it, we do it again.
Okay. Is that what I missed when I fell asleep during Virginia, Florida State Friday night? Because that game went to overtime and I bailed out when it got. I did not know about this rule change in college football. I've not stayed with a college football game long enough to get to 2-point tries. When it went to overtime, I was like, nobody is stopping anyone on this, and I'm going to be up until 3 in the morning.
I'm out.
I'm out. I got the alarm is set for 5:30. I got an early tea time. I'm done. But I mean, that game was super fun to watch. I mean, like just a great college football game. If you like when nobody can play defense, basically, like it's just really, really fun watching the quarterbacks work in that game.
Oregon Penn State went to the second overtime, and Penn State got picked off to end the game. And that game was like 3-3. For a while.
Yeah.
And it went over the 53.
Mm.
That's one thing about the overtimes in college that can really...
They really pile it up.
That's not a great feeling to lose on those. I didn't. I lost on the picks. I had Penn State. And then it's 30-24 Oregon in the second overtime. And I'm giving 3.5 on the show here. And I'm like, there's literally no way I can win.
Right.
Anymore. In the old days, just...
Right.
In the fifth overtime, I get a touchdown. You don't. I win. But that was not that's not how it works anymore.
Right.
Football Monday on WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 8:03, 5:50. What's your attitude about yesterday's Bills win over the Saints? We'll be back after the update. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
I mean, it seems like he's getting better each and every week, which is hard to imagine. The way that he kind of has this patience to hit the hole, but when he hits it, I mean, he's shot out of a cannon. His contact balance is unbelievable. His jump cuts are awesome. You know, glad he's on our team.
Josh Allen on James Cook. Another big game on the stat sheet for Cook yesterday and for the Bills on offense in general. 31 points, 31-19, the final over New Orleans. The Saints cover the 15.5-point spread, and we're not a pushover. Fourth quarter, they had the ball down 2. So the Bills did not have the kind of game you might have thought they would against New Orleans. You know, I'm not sitting here right now entirely sure how they did it. You know, they ran the ball. They didn't get anything explosive in this game really at all. Like, no big plays.
No.
Rattler moved pretty well. Like he moved out a couple times.
He hurt them especially early, quite a lot, really. Yeah.
And they didn't screw up. I mean, the Saints, a bad team, can give you the ball three or four times.
Right, they threw the one pick. You know, that was a receiver throwing it to a quarterback, which is the opposite of way that's supposed to work. And they even took it away one time, which, you know, and they sacked Josh Allen three times.
Yep.
Like they were Granderson. They were more than plucky. I was going to say plucky, and that the feels like a slight even.
Does it?
Yeah.
Is plucky a slight?
I felt like, well, in this case, I mean, I think it can be a compliment, but I think they were better than plucky.
I don't know. Well.
North of plucky. Plucky adjacent.
North of plucky.
North of plucky.
Bride of Chucky, north of plucky.
Let me write that down so I don't forget it.
What about their performance would disqualify them from plucky status? Is plucky different than scrappy? Plucky. I kind of think that is what they were.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to compliment them more than plucky. So I need something.
They don't deserve that.
Okay.
They don't deserve that.
All right.
They're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills should be very glad that they're playing Miami and New Orleans these last 2 weeks. Because, I mean, maybe Miami's better than New Orleans, but on the heels of their start, we weren't thinking that they necessarily were.
No, we thought that we were going to a funeral for Mike McDaniel. I think last Thursday was that's how I was viewing it. And we'll see. I don't know. There's a chance that still happens for them. I don't think they're far from, you know, out of the woods. I think Miami. We'll see. I mean, if they lose to the Jets at home,
yeah, then
maybe it's right back to, you know, whatever, code red or whatever you want.
Which they usually could.
Yeah.
It's not like they're a big favorite.
I was just looking. Two and a half maybe, I think.
Really? Less than a field goal.
Yeah.
It's not running through the three, you're saying. And what's Denver? Like a touchdown?
I have Denver -7.5 according to ESPN right now.
Through the seven.
Right. And 2.5 is right on Miami. Over 43.5 in the early game, 44.5 in the later game. Although neither game is really that late. The second game starts at the normal time. The other one starts an hour earlier.
Baltimore plays Kansas City, and it's the only thing we want to talk about every day is what should happen in that game, like what we want to have happen. Tonight, is it so irrelevant in the AFC East that like Jets, Dolphins just does not carry any weight? The Bills have beaten both teams already.
I don't care who wins.
Don't care who wins at all.
I don't think either team will be a threat. I guess if you want to consider that Miami's the more ready-made team, then root for the Jets. Because if one of them's going to get hot, I don't think either of them will, but Miami's got more there, I think. They're more prepared to offer you more as the season goes on, whereas I think the Jets...
Well, now I'm getting far in, but there are fans who have said... What they want from the Dolphins is just to stay where they are.
Right, so maybe go Dolphins.
Whereas the Jets have a rookie coach
right,
and a new quarterback, and they could ride that out a little bit, and maybe you end up with, you know, two bad teams for another year or two to come. New England might not be bad, and that's this week. And they just crushed Carolina. That game was, I mean, over early. Carolina really never did anything to them. I don't know. I still have a feeling that there's a team in there. And when you look at the AFC today, like I have a bet on them to make the playoffs. They lose to the Raiders at home. They lose to Pittsburgh at home. Five turnovers. Ugh, so much for that easy schedule and whatever else. But, I mean, there's still, it's obviously very early as well, but there's still room for a team of this caliber to make it. Maybe they're going to have to win games like Sunday, like win a couple.
Yeah,
where they're playing over their heads, maybe, and get those early losses back that way. But May had a great day. And there's another team. I was just thinking about Philadelphia, you know, texting with Sal about what the Eagles look like so far. And the Patriots aren't throwing the ball either. I mean, neither are the Bills. Mm-hmm. Like, there's several
who
teams.
Who is throwing the ball? That's the question. Who is throwing the ball?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Went for 350.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me look. Who is throwing the ball?
That's probably not what you want. I mean, it's fine that he threw for 350, but like if that's not going anywhere.
Nope, you're probably right. The pressure was tough on him.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is throwing the ball, of course.
Right.
Yeah, they've got. He was awesome again.
They've got a couple. I mean, they're two of their last three games, right? The Giant game was a couple weeks ago now. That was insane. Yesterday was insane. Even without CeeDee Lamb, there's Pickens with a couple of touchdowns, right?
Like huge game.
They
Ferguson.
They just all got there. Yeah.
Matthew Stafford is second in passing yards to Prescott. Allen is seventh. May is sixth. I mean, does that even feel right?
I saw something, EPA maybe, for quarterbacks. Like, May is right up there with Allen. He is in this too, like you're saying, just yards. But
yep.
I think he's been pretty effective, even though, you know, they've dropped a couple of games.
Neither Allen nor May are top 10 in attempts, but they're 7 and 6, respectively, in yards. Second in attempts is Flacco. And it sounds like he's coming out.
Matter of time, I think, at this point.
There was some speculation that it's not. This is the time.
Maybe it's now. Right?
That Dylan Gabriel will play against Minnesota. Rattler is fourth. So I guess they're throwing the ball. Trevor Lawrence is fifth. It is always interesting about football. And certainly right now, every season is in its own way. Where you have, like, and the Bills are a microcosm of this. Where you have the elite quarterback, but you really just don't need to put it all on him. When they beat Baltimore, one of my points was, this isn't exactly taking the load off of Josh Allen's shoulders this game. It's really like not being good enough to win until they did, and then they won. But the three games since have totally been
pretty rocking chair for him.
Yeah, anyway. I mean,
he needed
game manager.
He needed a big run yesterday. Like you're talking about this moment where it's a 2-point game. That's a third down, maybe third and five, whatever it is, and he busts up the middle for 27 yards, and then the next play is the Kincaid touchdown and lights out. Game's over. But they needed a play there from him for sure, and got it when they needed it. There. And then he tried the same thing on the next series that I think ended with the field goal, and it wasn't there. Like the Saints sort of closed it down on him when he tried to bust up the middle on that. I wonder with the Browns if the fact that they're playing in London this week is a deterrent to making a change. Like it's not a normal week. It's a more turbulent week. Travel wise, logistically, all that might be a deterrent to pivoting to the rookie, I think. But we'll see. I mean,
something I read today said they were ready to do it, but yeah. Nothing official that I've seen.
And the Tennessee coach is probably going to get fired soon. I haven't looked.
Odds?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Has he passed Mike McDaniel?
Give it till tomorrow.
Okay, right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Yes.
His father is on the staff.
Yeah.
Can you just fire the son? Does the dad quit if the son's fired? Bill Callahan.
Yeah, I think I would want my dad to quit if I got fired.
Interesting.
I mean, assuming we ever worked in the same place, which, you know.
Could they replace the son with the father? We've got a guy here on the staff who's coached. He's been a head coach in the Super Bowl, people. We need. What do we do when we fire a coach? We go for the opposite. Here's a guy who's inexperienced. We got an experienced winning coach on the staff. It just so happens he's the current coach's dad. Imagine if dad takes the job as the replacement for the son.
And turns it around.
Turns it around. He's going to have to turn his relationship with his son around. But maybe the son has to respect it if he turns.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fees apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
And we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Turns it around. I don't know what next year's Hallmark movie is going to be. I mean, they're not necessarily based on true stories, but that would be... That's not a Hallmark movie, though, is it?
No.
The son gets fired. The dad decides to shun the son and take the job because they have an experienced coach on the staff in him, and he changes the culture from his son's culture.
Right.
Oh, baby.
Now my son is texting me asking me if I would quit if he was fired. And I'm writing him back. No, I was here first. Right? Didn't Brian Callahan bring his dad in? I don't think Bill Callahan was there. I mean, he's been in the league a long time. Of course, he's his dad, but it's different. I think the order of hiring matters.
But how did that go? Brian Callahan's like, I know a guy to coach the line if you need somebody. Really?
Who's that?
My father.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he got the job, was because the father was available to be his assistant. And they thought any sort of inexperience would not be a problem.
Right.
Because dad is there. But son doesn't want to, capitulate to dad. I'm my own man. I'm 40. I'm here. I'm going to call my own plays and do all this.
Going all Mike Gundy over here.
There's got to be something here. Is this what we're talking about in Tennessee right now, but seriously?
Yes.
Replacing Brian Callahan with his father? And he's terrible at these press conferences too. Like, just loses it kind of sometimes.
Yeah, he is at this point, just, he's got to know the train is about to hit him.
0-4 Tennessee. Next up, week 5 at Arizona. I'm sure that's a 405 right there. That screams 405. Yeah,
that is on in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And in Arizona.
And if one
some
of the
color you've never even heard of on the map is going to just some blackish orange color or something. There it is.
And if either team has a key player born in some faraway land, it's on there too.
Right.
That's the list though. Right. If Cam Ward were from Alaska, it'd be on in Alaska.
Right.
I don't believe he is.
No, I don't think so.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Monday continues. 803-0550 to call in. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.